12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of your stone upon his shoulders, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be the people of Israel's memorial forever.
Appreciate Benny leading us in singing and the other men leading us in worship. It's great to see you with us, and I want to welcome all those who are here in the building and anyone online watching and presently or watching later. We're so glad that you have chosen to be with us. This is Memorial Day holiday, and I want to begin with a quiz for you to see how many memorials in our area you can recognize. I don't have all the memorials that we have in our area, but I have a few on here that I want to see. So, anybody recognize this one? And I made it small so you couldn't just read it. My wife's up close, she can read it. This is the memorial to an old oak political tree that fell back in 1974 where the Fancy Farm picnic is held and where the political discussions began underneath that oak tree for 133 years. And they put up a memorial to it out in Fancy Farm. Let's go this one. What is this one? Is there anybody in Graves County anybody in the church here this morning that doesn't know that one, haven't been to it? That's probably one of our most famous one. What's it called? The Woolridge Monuments. And they're at Maple Hill Cemetery, Maple Woods Cemetery. And really interesting. They got damaged a few years back in a storm, but were repaired. Really interesting story to go and see those and to just observe those. What about this one? Anybody know that one? Who said? Someone said it. Who said it? Camp Beauregard. Pete got that one. It is called the Valley Forge of the Confederacy here in Graves County. Happened a part of the Civil War in the winter of 1861 to 1862, from September to March. Some 5,000 to 6,000 Confederate soldiers were trained there, which is, I also believe, is the highest point in Graves County. It's down by Water Valley. And some 1,500, or between 1,000 and 1,500 soldiers died there. And many of them were buried there. And now it's a beautiful cemetery and cemetery for families and churches and things. But it's a beautiful place. And it's where most of the men died, not from military battle, but they died from diseases and all kinds of sickness that went through the camp. And it was eventually burned. It was during the war, it was taken over. But it's a memorial dedicated to the soldiers there. One more. This is on our courthouse. Anybody recognize that memorial? We have numerous memorials around the courthouse. Some to workers, some to people who fought in World War II. This one was one that was put up in the early 1900s. And our courthouse played a key role during the Civil War. And this was a Confederate memorial that was put up at that time. What we may not realize when you go back and study the Civil War is that this part of the Kentucky was very pro-Southern in its allegiance. And it was taken over in the courthouse, and some of those things had a lot to do with that. Well, how many of those memorials did you know? There could be a lot more that I could have gone through here in Graves County. Now, that got me to thinking, what about biblical memorials and studied about what the Bible says about memorials. When you think about biblical memorials, there are, of course, a noun and a verb used in the Bible to talk about memorials. A noun remembers or means a reminder, a memorial. A verb is to remember, to exercise memory, to recollect, or to rehearse. And so it's this idea of remembering something. And so when I surveyed the Bible, I found a lot of memorials in the Bible. And we won't look at all of them, but I want to kind of survey them briefly and then make some points about them. The first memorial that I want to point to would be the Passover memorial in Exodus chapter 12. When the children of Israel were getting ready to leave, and God is about to give the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, He institutes the Passover memorial. And He says in chapter 12, verse 14, "This day, the Passover day, shall be for you a memorial day." A memorial day. That's what we're having tomorrow. "And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." It's going to be a memorial forever. And the Passover memorial was to continue. The Old Testament word forever means for a long, long time. It was to be a memorial that they were to remember God bringing judgment upon Pharaoh and God giving them freedom, freedom out of Egypt, freedom out of bondage, and they were to constantly remember that. And of course, that's going to be the context of Jesus instituting His memorial, the Lord's Supper, is in the Passover memorial of them remembering. Many of the sacrifices throughout the book of Leviticus refer to the memorial portion. A portion of a sacrifice was given to God, a portion was given to the worshiper sometimes, and a portion was given to the priest. Sometimes it was just to God and to the priest. In most of them, it was just to God and priest. A few, the worshiper got something back. But here's the thing. It often says a memorial portion. That is, a part of that was dedicated as a memorial to God. And for example, in Leviticus chapter 2, you see numerous sacrifices there as a memorial unto God, as a remembrance of what this is significant for. The sin, this peace offering, it is a memorial, a reminder unto God. And one of the reasons God made them do sacrifices was so that they would have a conscious memory of it. The Sabbath day, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. The Sabbath day and giving of the Ten Commandments is said to be not a literal memorial, but we have the word remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember this. Keep it holy. Going back to God in creation, resting on the Sabbath day, they are to remember God's creative act. They're to remember to consecrate God before all things. Remember God. Remember the Sabbath day and do not do any work. In Jewish time period, they had the seventh month, seventh day, seventh month, Leviticus 23, verse 24. And the seventh month had three festivals in it. It had the festival of the trumpets, it had the day of atonement, and it had the festival of the weeks. And it was all of these, one on the first day, one on the 10th day, and one on the 15th day, they were all festivals where they were to set aside a memorial unto God. And so the Jewish people had an entire month of festivals. And these festivals weren't just parties. They were communal gatherings, but they were gatherings of remembrance, to remember and to offer sacrifice. The holiest of days, the Day of Atonement, was in the middle of this on the 10th day when they offered a sin offering for the sins of the people on the Ark of the Covenant. In the high priest's ornate garment, there were stones that were put on his garment, which were said to be a memorial, a way of remembering, even so that God could remember the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they adorned on this breastplate are each stone, 12 stones, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 7, the passage that Benny read, there were 12 stones. When they crossed over the Jordan River, They took 12 stones out of that river and they piled up a, I assume it was some type of a pyramid-like structure with those 12 stones on it, which were to be a memorial of this day so that they could remember it. In Joshua 22, there is what is called the witness altar, where they build an altar. The tribes on the east side of the Jordan build an altar, not to offer sacrifices on it, but they call it a witness altar for their generation and for future generations to remember. You see, they needed a lot of strings around their fingers. They needed reminders to remember that the Lord is their God and that they are to have an inheritance with the people dwelling on the west side of the river. And so they built a witness altar. And then in the New Covenant, we see in Matthew 26, our Lord gather with His disciples. And He institutes what we commonly call the Lord's Supper. The holiest, we might say, memorials of Christianity. And Jesus did this in the context of a Passover meal. And in verses 26 through 29, when He's in this meal, He says, He took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And then He takes the cup and He's given thanks. He said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And Ronnie led us in reading Isaiah and in thinking back about the memorial that Christ instituted. As we still, some 2,000 years later, remember. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, in recounting this memorial, says, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And I think we have that on most of our tables, right? Do this in remembrance of Me. Remembering. And then another memorial we see in the New Testament is the day of the week. The Sabbath day in the Old Testament, the New Testament, Acts 27, on the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it had become known as the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. And so the day stands as a constant memorial, a constant reminder. Each and every calendar week, we have a reminder of the resurrection of the Lord, of the power of the Lord. And so when you think about these biblical memorials and you survey them, I concluded three thoughts of the purpose of memorials and why we need memorials today. And the first purpose is this: we need to know history. We need to know history. The purpose of the Passover memorial, the purpose of the 12 stones as they crossed over the river and entered the promised land, the purpose of the witness altar so that they could remember that, was to know their story and so that we can be acquainted with our story. We need to know history. There's a certain sense that we put things in marble because we do not want it to be forgotten. We want it to be etched in stone. So somewhere down the line, someone says, "There was some important event that happened here." What was the event that happened here? Each time we take of the Lord's Supper, we are to be reminded that there's some important event that happened here. When children grow up and they see us doing this, some important event happened to cause us to remember. What do we need to remember? Memorials teach us to know history. I was a student writing in a history class for the end of semester test, the final test, and he was writing about the close of the Civil War and all that was about to happen in our country at that time. And he wrote this. I thought it was well done. "Humans create and perpetuate history. The men who fought in the war created the history, and their fatherless children live to tell the stories. History and its retelling is just as fluid and volatile as human emotion." And I love this, being a history major myself. "The true nature of history is not facts and dates. The true nature of history is proof that humans are broken and in need of a Savior. We are imperfect, inconsistent, and incompetent. I've heard many times that we learn history so that we do not repeat it. I feel it would be better stated. We learn about history because each one of us have the capacity to make that happen again. And isn't that true? Is that we're constantly repeating the same mistakes. We're constantly struggling. And we need to know history. It's who we are. In fact, if you refuse to know some things about history, you're really refusing to know about who you are. Because you have been made by that history. We are living history now, right? Going through this pandemic and things. And these are things that we would want and we need to be able to share with other people in the future. Lessons that we gain from it. We need to understand that memorials help us to know history. But secondly, memorials help us to know that we need to be thankful. When I thought about the memorials of the sacrifices that God required as a memorial portion, when I thought about the memorials of the Sabbath day, what was the purpose of the Sabbath day memorial, the Lord's Day memorial, or the Lord's Supper? What did Christ say? Each time he offered what? Thanks. He offered thanks. We offer thanks. The Greek word for the Lord's Supper that you often hear used by other religions, the Eucharist. And that is the Greek word which they have come to call the Lord's Supper. But what it means is thanksgiving, thankful. The Lord's Supper in its heart is a memorial of thanksgiving. And we need to be thankful. And when we look at memorials, when you go to a family cemetery and you look at your past and you see those who have gone before, when you think this Memorial Day about all of our soldiers who fought in World War I and World War II or the Korean War, the Vietnam War, or wars before that, there's a sense of where you're arrogant. There's a shamefulness that should be there. If it doesn't move your heart to say, I'm blessed, I need to be thankful, I need to be grateful. Memorial Day should be a Thanksgiving day. We ought to be thankful. And so memorials remind us to be thankful. That we are drinking out of wells we did not dig. That we have freedom, we have opportunities, we have blessings that we don't deserve because of what we did. We have them because of what other people did. And so we ought to tell God, God, thank you. We ought to tell soldiers, thank you. We ought to tell our forefathers, thank you. Because we are blessed. And so memorials remind us to be thankful. And then number three, memorials motivate us to live. We need motivation to live. In other words, memorials and all these memorials, in fact, the term remembrance in the Hebrew involves the idea of not just recall to mind, but recall to mind with an incentive to present day action. In other words, I remember it with a purposefulness that it's going to change my today. On September 11th, you'll see going around on social media, never forget or remember 9/11. And that's good, but here's the point. The point of that, and I think we often miss the point. The point is not just to say, oh yeah, this is the day that they flew the airplanes into the building. No, the point of that is not to say it just happened this day. The point of that is to say, live differently today because of what happened then. And that's what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is each week. It's not just to say, oh yeah, Jesus died for me. No, the point is live differently today. Live differently this week because Jesus died for you. The point of the Passover, and when Israel got in trouble, they put the Passover away. And through the Old Testament, we'll find out that sometimes they quit observing the Passover. And when they quit observing the Passover, they forgot who they were. If you stop observing the Lord's Supper, you forget who you are. You forget that you're a Christian. And if you stop paying attention to national memorials, you stop honoring soldiers, you stop knowing your history, you forget who you are. You see, because memorials are about motivation to live a certain way today. And that's what the purpose of memorials is found in. And so what are some of our memorials? Well, I've talked about these all through, but I wanted to list. Communion is certainly one. I've been proud of our church family. I've been proud of the church across America. Is that when we could not meet in buildings, one of the primary things that I saw people still seeing a need to do is we've got to take communion. People were making it in their homes. Churches were providing in all kinds of different ways. An understanding that communion is central to what Christians must do each first day of the week. It's a memorial. The Lord's Day is a memorial. It should be treated like that. There's a sense of where a church building is not a holy place that is set aside as a memorial, but there's a sense of where it is a memorial in that it is a reminder. It is a place just like those 12 stones or just like that altar, that witness altar that says, I need to be following Christ, and reminds me of the assembling together and of the growing up I had in that place and the Bible studies I learned in that place. The church building serves in some ways as a memorial. The Bible is not just an archaic dead book, obviously, but the Bible is a memorial. And it's a reminder. That's why we need to read it daily, to remind ourselves of these things. We think about, in our culture, cemeteries are memorials. Why do we put stones and have marble memorials for our family? Because we want to remember them. We want future generations to remember them. Cemeteries are memorials. We need to be treated as special and unique and honored. Battlefields, memorial places. Places where you can go and reflect and think about what sacrifices were made here. If you ever stand on the beaches of Normandy, think about what it was like to get off a boat and land on that shore with military German enforcements raining down gunfire upon you and have to storm that beach. You'll be thankful. You'll have a new sense of gratitude, and you'll be motivated to live differently because you know the history. You go to other battlefields, Shiloh, Gettysburg, or places like that. You go up to the American Revolution sites, you'll be motivated to live differently. Think about heirlooms in your own family. You may have some family heirlooms that are significant to you that remind you of a great-grandfather, great-grandmother, or what they meant to you. And they motivate you. And then we think about memorials. We think about historic sites. And so when we think about memorials, these are all things that God has put within us because God knew something about us. God knew we struggled to remember. We do. We struggle to remember. We want to live in the present. But memorials help us to know our history. They help us to remind to be thankful, and they help us to be motivated to live differently. Memorials are important. In closing, on the 100th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's speech in November of 1963, former President Dwight Eisenhower was asked to give the address at that occasion at Gettysburg. It was a very famous speech that he made, even though it was going to be overlooked in the American public because 3 days later, after making the speech, John F. Kennedy is going to be shot in Dallas, Texas. But here's the words that he said that really capture what I've tried to say. He said, Lincoln had faith that the ancient drums of Gettysburg, throbbing mutual defiance from the battle lines of the blue and the gray, would one day beat in unison to summon a people happily united in peace, to fulfill a generation by generation, a noble destiny. His faith has been justified. But notice this. But the unfinished work of which he spoke in 1863 is still unfinished. Because of human frailty, it always will be. We read Lincoln's sentiments. We ponder his words. The beauty of the sentiments he expressed enthralls us. The majesty of his words holds us spellbound. But we have not paid to his message its just tribute until we ourselves live it. And I would say the same thing about Christ's memorials. It's not just paying tribute to Christ until we really live that message. For on this day of commemoration, Lincoln still asked of each of us, as clearly as he did of those who heard his words a century ago, to give that increased devotion to the cause for which soldiers in all our wars have given that last full measure of devotion. Our answer, the only worthy one we can render to the memory of the great emancipator, is ever to defend, to ever protect, and ever pass on unblemished to coming generations the heritage, the trust, that Abraham Lincoln and all the ghostly legions of patriots of the past, with unflinching faith in their God, have bequeathed to us, a nation free with liberty and dignity and justice for all. We need to know our history. We need to be thankful for it. And we need to be motivated to live differently today. So I encourage you, as you drive by memorials, many of the memorials that we pass hundreds of times and never stop, then in the next few days, stop, think, reflect as you drive by a cemetery. As you maybe go to your jewelry box and see a necklace or a diamond ring from years gone by of a family heirloom. Or you drive by an old family home place. Stop and think. Stop and think. Be thankful and be motivated to live differently because of the past. If you're here this morning and you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life and come back to the Lord, if we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and as we sing.